Well, it's hard to believe, isn't it, that here we are in the very last segments that deal with our journey. And this is a great segment, too, because we're getting into the discussion of parenting. Let me say to you that are not yet parents, this is an important subject matter for you, too. If you think you may well be in the future, let me tell you, this is the time to learn. I told a story to my guys last night that when I was a single, that I had become convinced, and more so today, that probably learning about parenting and marriage for that sake before coming into those roles is a better time for learning than afterwards, because we're not so taken in all of the responsibilities that those relationships bring that we have more time and can think a little maybe purer about it, because reality is going to shake us a bit when we get there. So to kind of have a plan, to be able to think through where we're going once we get there. I made it a commitment when I was a single that I would start what I called a life notebook, and that notebook had a segment for me being a parent, me being a father, and I had different segments in there. How would you discipline, you know, so forth and so on. And every time I had an opportunity to hear somebody speak on the subject matter, I'd take my life notebook. If I had an opportunity to read a book, I'd take my life notebook, and I would put stuff in there. I bet I'd spent dozens and dozens and dozens of hours filling in that notebook, learning and thinking through things and having stuff I could go back as a resource. I will say I lost that notebook one day, and I think today it still stands out as one of the most significant losses that I've ever experienced of any material possession, because it was so important to me. But it's kind of like the church planters that come into this church. There was a time where we would hire a planter in to be a part of what we were doing, and we'd put them on the field here in Atlanta, and they would actually be planting their church with the idea that then during the first year or two, we'd give them some very good instruction and help them learn more about what they were doing. It didn't work. And the reason is because they were up to their neck in all these responsibilities, and they're treading water and saying, you know, I don't have time to learn about it. I just have to survive it right now. Well, there's a sense in which that's true, too, of our roles of parenting and marriage. Learning early is the best time. So don't think this is not for you. This is an important time for you as well, even if not yet there to the role of parenting. Having said that, let's walk through the week that I had, at least this week with my guys, and see if it helps you any. Scripture memory, a very important one. Our Deuteronomy 6 passage lays the foundation for what we're studying through the week this week. So you might want to chew on it, talk about it a little bit, or hold it later. We finished our testimonies last night, so you may not be through with yours. Continue on if you are. Obviously, that's taken care of. There are a few miscellaneous items that I want to just pause at this point and say, okay, guys, let's make sure we got these things kind of on our radar screen, and we started talking about next year. What's your group going to look like for you that are moving out? Who's going to be in your group? How many guys do you foresee being in your group? How many would you like to be in your group? How are you going to ask people into your group? There are all kind of things you can talk about, but you need to see the vision now. At the same time, talk to the guys that are in your group. I ask all of my guys to put on a piece of paper in written form a description of their plan next year. I would like to be in your group again next year, Randy, if you invite me back. You know, I plan not to be able to be in the group, or I won't be able to be in the group for these reasons next year. Whatever it may be, I want something very concrete they have to think through and not let them kind of, I'm not sure, I need to know, they need to know. So this is a good time to go ahead and plan for that. I asked them a question to kind of jumpstart the discussions with one another and to kind of get in each other's world a little bit. And the question I asked this time is, who is your spiritual hero? Do you have one? Who would it be? And then we talked about, why is that person a spiritual hero to you? Some people mention people that they've read much about, that they think so much about and are motivated by reading of them, hearing of them. We talked about the great value of also having a hero that's alive, somebody you can talk to, somebody you're in relationship with, having someone in your experience that can really help you in your time of need that you can watch and look to and listen for. Well, I shared my own spiritual hero and noted how many times that I would say in the course of a year, many, many times during a year, what would this person do in my circumstance right now? And how often what I would be planning to do would be something very different than what they'd be doing. And that would push my course of action to think differently once I think of my hero. So a good discussion is about hero. And then what I really push toward is, do you think you'll be a hero to somebody else one day? And to say that is the ultimate, that people would come to you and say, I need you in my spiritual life. And then the ideal of ideals, that your children will say, my dad was my spiritual hero. My mom was my spiritual hero. So, good discussion questions. We got into our truth segment and equipping. We went to Deuteronomy 6 on page 2. We discussed the text and its meaning and so forth in general. We talked about the 1 Thessalonians 2 text on page 3. Notice I'm not doing each text. Sometimes I never do any of the text directly. But I will be finding out, did they learn from it? Sometimes I'll actually go to the page and say, give me your answer. What did you put there for this one? We discussed those texts. When we got to the 1 Thessalonians 2, I shared my own experiences. We're talking about how Paul found these people that he had fathered spiritually, how him imagining them in the presence of God was his crown of joy and exaltation. And I shared my own experience how when sometimes I'm down and discouraged and looking at situations and saying, oh man, things just aren't good, I can just have this little discipline. Sit back and think now about some of the people that God has let me father spiritually who are now with the Lord. Now, because I'm getting older, I've got friends that have gone ahead and been with the Lord now that I fathered. And to think of them in the presence of the Lord right now gives me a joy that really is unique. I can honestly say it does something to kind of push the earthly stuff, the dribble away, and all of a sudden the glory of just that thought is so encouraging. So the idea there is just think about how God would use you one day, and hopefully already, to be working in the lives, parenting other people spiritually. But your kids, you're number one. They are the ones that you parent, number one. Now, with that, let's look at a few other questions that I threw at them just to get them understanding and making sure they do understand what we've talked about. What is the role of the church in the raising of your kids? That was an easy one. Of course, they said, well, they support the parents, really the primary, and so forth. Well, establishing that, I made the comment. I said, well, let's talk about something that's a little related, but maybe important for us to discuss. I said, let's assume that your child is 14, 15, maybe even 16 years of age. And the child says, you know, I don't want to go to this church anymore. I don't like our church. Now, this is assuming your church is a good church. It's solid. It's biblical. It's so forth. That it's doing its job. But they say, I don't like this church anymore. And I want to go to a different church. What do you do? Do you let them go to the church where their friends are? Of course, you're going to hear things like this. Well, the youth group here is cliquey. The youth group is this. The youth group is that. Well, my children went through good youth groups, and I'd hear my peers and friends talk about the blessing of the youth group and what it was doing, and happened to be that maybe one of my kids had their best friends at another church, and they just want social life. That's what they're looking for. And so they're really saying, I don't need another church, I need to be with my friends more, and my friends aren't here, and therefore here's what I don't like, and everything gets shaped and colored. So what do you do in a situation like that? It's interesting, the discussion we had, the first person said, well, I'd let them go to that church. And then somebody would say, well, I wouldn't. And we began to interact. Finally, they said, what would be your recommendation? And, you know, I think every situation can be unique, certainly. But for the most part, I said, you know what I would say? I would say, you became a member of this church and you made a vow. And your vow was that you would participate in the worship and work of your church. And, you know, the reality is, God's not leading you there. You want to go there. And there's a difference between those two. And I would say, you know, I want you to learn what it is to be faithful to commitments. And I don't want us to work through this. And let's figure out how we can be faithful to commitments, even when they're not desirable. Because what's going to happen is they're going to get in a marriage, and their marriage is not going to be enjoyable at times. They're going to say, I want out of this thing. And they need to learn that you can't just jump out. Even as I use the illustration, what if your child said, you know, the parents down the road, my good friends, now I really enjoy them a lot. They have a lot more fun there. And for whatever reason, I think I want to go there now for the rest of my childhood. I don't want to be here. No, you live with things that aren't ideal. And you learn. Until the Lord moves you, that's a different thing. It's really something that's very important spiritually. But as I said, I've had people through the years come to me and say, I have to leave this church because my kids want to go somewhere else. And my response would be, who is the leader of your family? Do they tell you where you have to go? Or do you determine? But it's a hard call, but be sure that you're looking for that which is going to help your child mature the most. Where are they going to get that which is best? You are their guardian. You are the parent. Now, having said that, we had a discussion. What's the difference between a teaching session and a talking session and with your children? That's a great discussion. Illustrate. What would it look like? I shared I think it was the Scottish Book of Church Worship, I believe it was, that I was seeing just recently. And it had a quote that I was reading out of this that said, I don't remember the exact words, but basically, if the father of the family is not leading their kids or their family in family worship, if that continues on, they should be brought before the leadership of the church, admonished to do so, and if continuing not to do so, would be barred from the Lord's table. Can you imagine that? Today we would just go, oh, it's ridiculous. But it shows how important the church through the years has taken the idea of the father being the shepherd of the family. Parents, really, but the father being the head of the home, as we've discussed in the past, not superior in any form or fashion. And if not a father in the family, certainly that responsibility would be to the mother only. But the idea here is the importance of doing so. One of our guys said, you know, I bet a lot of people wouldn't know how to have personal worship. And that is true. And our church wants to address that. In fact, anybody who wants to know, you call the leadership of our church. Let us know. And we will get you help on how to do that. That is vitally important. Let me say this. One of the things that I share with my guys is my experience in raising our kids was to say, you know, I don't want our devotions to ever be perceived too long. And so I like to spend 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 6 minutes. I'd take my children out once a week. We'd rotate out my kids going to breakfast, and we'd get in the Word of God for have a little devotion time. And I love to see them look at me when it's over like, is that it? It's over? I go, sure, it's over. I love to hear them say, well, why don't you finish that? Why don't you go? And they're asking me to go further. That's a different deal. But not to sit there and let them be bored, their eyes rolling, oh my goodness, they're lecturing, they're talking. Make it as attractive as you can. And brevity with kids is always good. So important to be faithful, not long every week, but just faithful to get into the Word with your family and give them leadership there. Then we talked about your family values. We got into the course that's in our materials. And one of the things I want to do right now is what I did with them. I debated putting into the materials this week my values. And I put just a few of them because I know how easy it is to see someone's work on an area that you're not familiar with and go, oh, I like that. I'll just embrace it. And there's no thinking, no ownership. I'd love for you to own it yourself. I don't want you to write these down. I'd rather you just listen. It'll take a couple of minutes, but I'm going to read all of my values. These are called the Pope values. And we did this years ago with our kids. And then after we did it, gave them a high monetary incentive to memorize it word for word. And then I even broke it out where you got a third of that installed once you quoted it. A month later, if you could quote it again, you get the second third. Another month, you get the last. So that knowing they're going to forget them, they're not going to remember them, but they will be ingrained more. By putting a high money value, it showed them that I hold this to be very important. So I just listened to them. What I have is, and if this can even be seen here, I have a list of the values here on the left, and they're just a simple statement where that's easy to remember. And then I have life beliefs on the column here to the right, and the beliefs are just a statement to explain what that value is. So there'll be no misunderstanding about it. So let me just read them here to you just very quickly. One, rightly relating to God, the belief that the essence of Christianity is a vital loving relationship with a loving God. Now you take each one of these and think, what if my kid embraced this? Think about it. Number two, love for God and man, the belief that loving and serving Christ is the highest priority of life and the most satisfying experience of life. Do they believe that? And that giving and serving are much richer life experiences than receiving and being served. Wow, huh? Number three, character and physical development. That character development is more important than human success. And that one's body, being the temple of the Holy Spirit, should be given the proper diet, exercise, and rest needed to keep it healthy. Worship. I wonder how many kids say, you know, worship is a high value to my family. Nothing gets in the way. Here's what the belief is, that daily personal worship and weekly corporate worship of God is vital for healthy Christian living. Number five, moral purity. That moral purity is the highest physical goal toward which to strive. Six, disciple making. That other than worship of God, making disciples of men is the most important life endeavor. And when I use men there, men and women, obviously. Effort. That doing one's best is more important than being the best. At this point, I stopped with my guys and said, you know, can I tell you why that one slipped in here? That would have never been here except I know that was a value of my father. Because over and over, he would say things like this. So what'd you make on that on the test today? You had a test at school. What'd you make? Oh, I made an A on it. Well, that sounds pretty good. Let me ask you a question. Was that the best effort you could have made in getting that A? Did you give it your very best? And I might have to honestly say, well, quite frankly, it was pretty good that the teacher asked the questions that I had studied because it could have been the other way around. I didn't study that well. And he'd say, I'm not too proud of that A. On the other hand, I could come back and say, I made a C. And he'd say, C, you know, you usually make better grades than that. But was that your best effort? And I'd say, I really did. I studied as hard as I could study, and I did what I could do. And that's, he'd go, great, I love that C. That is a good job. Well done, boy. So the idea was, it's not being the best. It's giving one's best, and it slips into my values now. Stewardship, that man owns nothing but is merely a steward of what God owns. Do they see that in parents' lives? Wow. Personal relationships, that quality life requires building and nurturing significant relationships. How many kids don't really understand building relationships? Spouse selection. This one's going to be big one day for your kids if they're not already there. Belief. In choosing a spouse, spiritual qualities are more important than physical attractiveness or personality traits. If your kid embraces that one, you spared them a lifetime of pain. 11 is family. That loving one's spouse is the most important relational commitment a married believer can make. And loving and equipping one's children with godly values is the highest call of a Christian parent. And then lastly, good reports. Now think about this one with your kids, particularly maybe interacting with each other. That one should never share or receive information that damages another person's reputation unless done as part of the problem-solving process, and that all speech should be designed to benefit the recipient. Kids would interact differently with each other if they held that value. We discussed it. Well, how do kids get this kind of value? And the answer is, they have to be taught it, but more importantly, they've got to see it modeled by their parents. So great discussions you can get in there, and hopefully you'll have a good discussion around some of those things. I would encourage you to, if you want to use this, you can go on perimeter.org/pope. You can actually see all of them if you would like. I would encourage you not just to copy them, but you could utilize these if you wanted to help your people to learn how to do their values, because we need to be starting to write those values. By the way, I suggested to our leadership team at church here that starting this next year that we encourage new teams or teams at the beginning of the year in August or June, June, early on, to have a retreat. Get your group together before you start in late August, early September, and get your group together and go on a retreat and use our curriculum. We have a little portion of curriculum that you can get on life planning. And it'll walk through, it's a little booklet that'll help you understand exactly how to do this. And you can do it in a group. And then they've got a plan, including their values, to start working on all year. I used to do this at the end of each year, and I've decided I want to put this at the front of the year and start that retreat to kind of get us together relationally to start the year out. So an idea that you might like to follow. Well, I spent a long time on that, longer than normal, so I'll just say for supplication and accountability, page 9, 3, 4, 5, and 6, great questions. You probably have time for only one if you use that much discussion on this subject matter as we did. In terms of mission, question on page 12, all those questions are very good, but again, you may need to squeeze that time. The only thing I'm going to say on this particular time about the life issue booklets is in book 3, it's pretty straightforward. This is Jesus being the only way to God. And I would say this is the best time to put your testimony in. When you're sharing with somebody, when you start talking about the evidences of Christ being who he claimed to be, one of the greatest is your own story. They can question the resurrection. They can question this, but it's hard for them to question your own life experience. The younger generation today is so big on experience. What is your experience? Well, let them know your experience. Your experience with Jesus is, and there's where your testimony comes in. So a great time to do that. There's some other stuff, and you'll get it in the training if you come to Life, our Express Your Faith training. But the only thing that I went in with our guys was that when you get to the end of book 3, when you finish it, you want to introduce book 4 in a special way. You want to take them, let them see a prayer at the end there of the first 6 pages or so, and it'll be a prayer of receiving Jesus. And you want to say, you're going to understand what it means to be a follower when you finish this particular booklet. And now this is if you see there's some hunger, some interest getting close. If you see them pushing back, I don't agree, but I want to keep investigating, you wouldn't go here. But otherwise, I say, I'd like to set a goal. I'd like for us to pray that God would bring you to this place. I'll pray for you, you pray for you. That God will bring you to the place that you can make this a ceremony. And at this point, I would describe that what this is not, it's not a magical prayer, it's a ceremony. And that someone who actually comes into a marriage relationship comes into the ceremony because they found love. It's not to create love. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. But to say this is just a prayer that would say, I think I've come to a place to be able to say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I think there's a love relationship. I'll follow him because I love him. If so, here's a ceremony. And it's just a ceremony. And then next week, we'll see if God's brought you to that place. If not, that's okay. We can extend this goal out further, or maybe it's something you decide you don't want to do. But let's give it prayer this week and see what happens. Great way to kind of introduce that last booklet. So I'll close it out there, and hope you have a great week this week as you birth into this new subject matter. It's important stuff. I think you're going to find it to be greatly beneficial to all. So God bless you as you do so.